so that you'll have a clear understanding of what the Lord is trying to accomplish through this ordinance, this ceremony that we call water baptism. This act of water baptism is an important first step in our lives as followers of Christ. By baptism, what we mean here in our fellowship, we believe in a believer's baptism. We believe that you should be immersed in water as a response or in obedience to, in response to receiving salvation from the Lord. We believe in a believer's baptism, not an infant baptism. We also believe in immersion, not sprinkling, as some other churches do. And that's okay. I mean, other churches have a different understanding of this doctrine, but this is our particular understanding. So the people that will come and be baptized today have already made a decision to follow Christ. It's not something they're doing today. It's a decision they made some time ago. And we're just confirming that through this ceremony this morning. In Matthew chapter 3, we see Jesus coming to his cousin, John the Baptist, to be baptized, the Bible tells us, in order to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus then goes on to establish water baptism as an eternal ordinance for his church. He tells us in Matthew 28:19 that we are all, every one of us, as believers in Christ, to follow him in water baptism. But in our modern, comfortable Christianity, we tend to take God's commandments like being baptized far too lightly. Chuck Colson said several years ago that most Westerners take baptism for granted, but for many in the world, the act requires immense courage. In countries like Nepal, it once meant imprisonment. For Soviet or Chinese or Eastern Bloc believers, it was like signing their own death warrant. In my own experience, having grown up in India as a missionary kid, I remember one young man that I met and spoke to. His family was Muslim in background. And when he began coming to our church, our little church that we had there on the campus in this tiny little village, way out in the boondocks. When he began to come to our church, he made a decision to follow Christ, and his family was okay with that as long as he would come to church. They'd let him read the Bible. They were okay with that. They were okay with him coming to church. They were okay with him singing the songs. But when he told them, I want to be baptized in water as an act of obedience to following Christ, that's where they drew the line. They told him, if you permit yourself to be baptized in water, you are no longer a member of our family, and if we catch you alone on the streets, we will beat you. For those of us in this room, we don't face that kind of challenge as we launch our lives into obeying Christ. But in many other countries, this draws a line in the sand for them. I hope for you, even though we may not face the same cultural challenges that people in India and Nepal and other places do, I'm hoping that for those of us who are baptized today, for those of you being baptized today, that this draws a line in the sand for you. That you won't care what anybody else has to say. You're doing this as an act of consecration to the Lord, regardless of what it might cost you. A wedding ring, like I wear on my finger, is an outward sign that a person is married. I'm married to my wife. A military uniform is an outward sign that a person is involved in that particular branch of service. Well, in the same way, water baptism is intended to be a symbol designed by God to identify us as his followers, as his disciples, as members of his family. But baptism is so much more than a symbol, an outward symbol. It's so much more than that. Baptism in water is really an outward expression of an inward reality. The Bible says that when we're saved, we're spiritually baptized into Christ. And in 1 Corinthians, it says that when we are saved, we are baptized into Christ's body, his church. So baptism, this ceremony that we're about to enjoy, is an outward expression of an inward reality that's already taken place in these folks. If they haven't been saved yet, they're going to get in the water, a wet center, a dry center, and come up a wet center. Right? Now, in the Bible also goes on to say that water represents an inner cleansing, that it also represents spiritual rebirth. And these are central themes of water baptism as you watch it portrayed in front of you. Essentially, if you will, baptism is like a funeral service in a lot of ways. It's like a funeral service. It's an act of faith in which we testify both to God and to one another and to the world around us and to the spiritual powers that be that the person I was before has died and that a new person is being raised again to new life in Christ Jesus. So in essence, this is a funeral service of sorts for those of us who are being baptized today. And we see this beautifully illustrated for us in a couple of scriptures, and I'd encourage you to jot these down, go back and look them up for yourself. In Romans 6:4, it says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." In Colossians 2:12, it says, "For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life, because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead." So we see that it's not just an outward symbol. There's something spiritual going on. There's a spiritual dynamic that's taking place. Now listen, let's be clear about this. Being baptized is a command from God. It's not an option for us as followers of Christ. It's an act that God requires of all of us as believers. In fact, among Jesus' last recorded words on earth are found in Mark 16:16 that says, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. Jesus' very call to believe on him includes a call to be baptized. And I think if Jesus puts it in such strong terms, then maybe we need to take his word more seriously today. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, you never read about an unbaptized believer. There was one exception, and I'm glad the Lord gave us this exception. The thief on the cross never had time to climb down from the cross to get wet, to be baptized, right? So I want to be clear about that. But those of us who are able, we ought to follow the Lord in baptism, because throughout the rest of the New Testament, there's no such thing as an unbaptized believer. In fact, we see, and I'm going to point it out to you, that baptism immediately followed a person's salvation. They saw it, in the early church, they saw it as something that they should not delay or put off. Let me point out to you some of these instances, if you will, of how the Bible speaks about baptism and its immediacy and its urgency. When the people in Acts chapter 2 respond to Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, the first thing he instructs them to do is repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 41, it goes on to say, those who accepted his message were baptized. In Acts chapter 8, Philip leads the Ethiopian eunuch to Christ. And as they finish their discussion about the meaning of the scriptures and about the gospel, the eunuch enthusiastically points and he says, "Look, there is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" So what do? They climb down out of the chariot and Philip baptizes the eunuch. In Acts chapter 22, the first thing that the apostle Paul is told to do after his conversion was to be baptized. And you could go on throughout the book of Acts. There are a number of other instances I could point to as well. But in each of these cases, you see that there's an urgency attached to baptism. There's something important about it. We may not understand it completely, but in the eyes of the Lord, this is an important act that we as followers of Christ are to do. James 2:17 says, "Faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead." And so those of us who follow the Lord shouldn't see our faith as being complete until we've obeyed God by being baptized. So that's why we follow him today in baptism. A living faith in Christ produces an obedient heart, doesn't it? Water baptism is that first act of obedience that we as the followers of Christ take. Another important reason why baptism should be followed is this: God communicates his love to us through water baptism. God communicates his love to us through water baptism. When we receive God's saving grace, I don't think it's any accident that he calls us to identify with him in a way that makes it real. To those of you who are about to be baptized, let me say this. If you find yourself struggling with guilt over your past, I hope this water baptism today will remind you that the sins of your past have been washed away. If you find yourself struggling with present circumstances, I hope that this baptism today reminds you that you are a son and a daughter of God, and you are dearly loved by God and chosen by God and set apart by God for His glory. You see, water baptism is a powerful reminder of God's amazing grace. The person we were before is dead and gone. We've been raised with Christ as a totally new creation with a new identity and a new purpose and a new way of life. And that's what all this represents today.